It has officially begun. WrestleMania weekend is finally upon us, and we're going to try not to die by the end of this. There's going to be a lot of wrestling for all of us here at BC WrestlePod. But hello to all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there, and welcome to another rendition of the Raw Squad Review, your weekly Monday night Raw review team here at BC WrestlePod. I am your host, Mikey, and joined for me for the first time in forever, and the first time ever since, you know, breaking the news that we acquired a trade for a new member, we have the full panel for this one. And what a show to get the full panel for, because this was the go-home edition for WrestleMania 40 for Monday Night Raw. Once again, I am Mikey, El Jefe around these parts. I run the ones and twos, and I am the face that kind of runs the place a little bit. But I am joined by my excellent host for Raw Squad. First and foremost, Senior Luchadon, it seems that you finally locked Benny back down in the basement after numerous attempts and multiple smack talks across the internet.
Yeah, so, of course, a mini, that little dork is back in the basement.
So, Senior Luchadon, thank you for being here for...
Oh, yeah, Raw's a superior show. Of course I'm here.
Nobody tell Minnie and the professor that.
Oh, I want them to hear it. Y'all know where to find me.
You can add Senior Lucha. Don't add. No, just kidding. I'm going to be Switzerland. I'm going to be neutral because I do both Raw and SmackDown. So everything has its place in the world. But yes, Raw is fantastic. And even the SmackDown crew acknowledges that the go-home SmackDown is never nothing home, right, you know, to write home about, because it's just setting up everything. And SmackDown's the place where we have the Battle Royale of all the people that are not going to be at WrestleMania.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's very fair. Though we will talk about some news reports, because I have questions about a certain SmackDown tag team potentially not being in the six-pack ladder match anymore.
Gotta get ready for the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to, you know, everything else. But, of course, last but certainly not least, before I get too ahead of myself, officially having his debut here on the Raw Squad Reviews. Well, I mean, he was here before, but now he's here officially full time. Macho, welcome. This is what a show to join in on for this one.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to troll the American Nightmare because, you know, like, why not? And I'm so excited to see what's going to go on here. The go home show for Raw is the go home show that matters. That is the honest to God truth. Every SmackDown before WrestleMania doesn't mean shit. It's always the go home show for Raw. That's where we get the actual stuff. So it's pretty exciting. I hear we might be doing some predictions. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, so stay tuned with that, because surprise, surprise, the Raw Squad boys are going to be handling WrestleMania predictions too, as we're the only main roster show doing a weekly review this week. But stay tuned, because the Stand and Deliver predictions are also happening with the NXT boys. So
I gotta tell you, the 15-year-old Macho is very excited that our crew's called the Raw Squad.
I mean, we're professionals, but let's all be real. Here at BC WrestlePod, we strive for professionalism, but internally, we're all teenagers.
Professionalism? The fuck you mean, professionalism?
We are professional adjacent. We just keep it real here, honestly. We give our opinions, very supportive. We try to keep an open mind, but there will be times where, you know, it's just a fact and not an opinion. So before we get started, disclaimer out there, some things may be said during this review that if you are watching, that might not resonate with you, and that's okay. I like to incorporate the words of another YouTuber, Brian Zane, like what you like, don't be a jerk. So if we say some stuff that you don't like, just know that these are our perspective and everything we say and do is for a joke. And also, it is a fact, not an opinion, so we'll see where that leads us. But without further ado, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and let's just dive straight into our go-home show. The first hour of Monday Night Raw was commercial-free. Well, when I say commercial-free, free of regular television commercials for those of us that watched it on TV, because we still had our WWE commercials and advertisements. But we kick off Monday Night Raw this week with a 25 minutes to 30 minute promo. I try to clock it in. So let's break this down, because this is like a three act structure. So we'll go bit by bit and then we'll talk
they
about
should have
so
got the act full one. Hour. They should have got the full hour. The best part of the whole show happened in the first hour.
They go. Oh, he goes over every other time, but the one time he doesn't.
I know.
Right?
I was like, this is the.
I wonder, Rock Final Boss entrance and music is fantastic.
Yup. Absolutely agree with you. It is. I love how it kind of starts old school and then transitions into the new. Like this final boss, this is Nation of Domination Rock, but in 2024, and I love it.
I mean, let's talk about him. So Rock opens up Raw, he cuts the promo, and I was very surprised because this is a little more tamed. So basically, Rock sets up everything. We get a recap of what happened last week, where he beats Cody Rhodes and then smears blood on the belt, and the crowd is booing him. And then Rock does a little swerve. He's like, listen, I want to show you all something. And he showed like two clips of kids crying because Cody's getting beat up on television, which I was just like, oh, that's devious, Rock. I'm here for it.
Yup. I loved it. Absolutely. Beat him more. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's not 1980. We don't need the 1980s baby face. Where's the independent Cody Rhodes? Where's the indie Cody Rhodes? The one that torched Kenny Omega? The one that torched Steve Corino? Where's that Cody? What is this? WWE Cody's whack.
I think we get that Cody come the Netflix era.
I hope you're right. Because the rumor is that Rocky is really in charge of that, and third hour might be TVMA.
That's what I was hearing. Also, I know this is a little bit off track. Do you guys see that they're opening up a third show?
Yeah,
the speed show.
The
speed.
Yeah,
and Ricochet is going to be the face of that show. Is what I'm seeing.
I don't know. I don't have any issues with that at all. I love Ricochet. I think he's amazing.
I was thinking about that. They are, since we're talking about them moving. Is Speed taking the original Monday Night slot?
Well, Speed is going to be exclusively on Twitter, and these are 3 to 5 minute matches from what I understand. And I also believe that these matches have some sort of implication for like future championships at some point. I have no clue. I think they're still trying to figure it out as they go along, but Speed is going to be exclusively for the social medias, which is a very smart strategy because anything more than 3 minutes, people aren't going to retain the information all that much, but I think Speed's going to be great. Hey, pigeonhole people, but Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, y'all can make them the faces of Speed. Let's do that.
I mean, I'd like to
see, but anyways,
Ricochet versus Braun Breaker. That'd be dope.
I just need them to run the ropes and like that's for NXT. I got to save it because I could go on a whole tangent, but Rock opens up. We get this. He shows the kids crying. Mm-hmm. He talks about that he is a girl dad, so he understands, but he needs to get those parents in line because come Saturday and Sunday, Cody's about to get these hands. He's about to get the break. He's going to get the bricks beaten off of him. Mm-hmm. And then we get into the second act in which your tribal chief, Roman Reigns, comes down.
Love it. Give me more tribal chief.
So he is accompanied by Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa. Roman cuts a couple of promos, which then enters the third and final act of all this. Rollins.
Roman made the Rock break character. I'm not sure if y'all saw that. When they were chanting yeet, Roman goes, no yeet. And the Rock's like, oh, looks like he's right about to laugh.
Yeah.
I caught that.
Yep, I definitely enjoyed that. I love it. They had to stop him from leaving because the crowd was like, okay.
It was fantastic. And then, of course, third act, Seth Rollins comes down through the crowd a la La Shield days and basically sets up our main event tonight where Seth originally wants to fight Rock or Roman. Sikoa steps up to the mic, says that he's not fighting Roman and Rock. It's going to be Solo versus Seth. And Rock ends the promo by mentioning that it's going to be Bloodline rules for our main event, which as soon as he said that, I'm like, all shenanigans are gonna break loose. So this is gonna be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But boys, this was a 25-30 minute promo. We had three different parts to all this. Mm-hmm. So let's just dive deep into what our thoughts were on this whole entire thing as it took up probably the first quarter of the show.
It was really, really high to start. I was like, man, this is spectacular. The Rock coming out. I was like, man, these fans just don't, they can't boo the man. He has to troll people to get them to boo him. Roman comes out to what I thought was the biggest pop of the night. I was like, when his music hit, that crowd lost it. You can tell that he matters to them. And I was very excited. And then I was like shaking because I was like, hold up. Seth Rollins is going to face The Rock tonight. Are we going to get an impromptu Rocky match? And then when they said that it was going to be Mr. Owen 34, I was like, nobody wants to see Solo wrestle. This dude has lost 34 straight matches since beating John Cena. Well, I don't want to see this guy. Get out of here. I was like, what a letdown. Just what a letdown.
It was. I was really hoping at least to get Roman to wrestle the night before WrestleMania, but
yeah, especially after Becky's comment about Roman, how this is going to be a tough WrestleMania for him because he never shows up to work and he shows up once and then leaves. So pulling double duty, he might be too tired to retain his title. I was like, hold up, Becky. You need to calm down.
We're going to talk about our Irish last kicker in a little bit, but like, I thought this set a good precedent for the night. I knew immediately once I heard Bloodline Rules match, I'm like, okay, it's going to be an overbooked main event, but I'm here for the chaos. I'm here. Yep. I'm a chaotic goblin, as the kids say. So I thought this was fantastic. Well, I mean, you mentioned Becky Lynch, so let's just jump straight into these kind of two segments before we get to our first match. Get a quick recap of Rhea Ripley being on the MMA Hour podcast, and then an impromptu phone call from Becky Lynch is like, hey, I'm outside. Are you going to let me in? Which then they do let Becky in, and then her and Rhea have a full-blown, almost come to fisticuffs argument in the middle of the MMA Hour, which I was just like, my only critique is I was like, we waited way too close to WrestleMania to make this personal for these girls to start fighting, but I'm like, I can get past that because at least now we made it personal. And that, for me, going into this feud, is I felt this is what was missing.
Well, that's the thing. We're watching it unfold. When Becky includes social media, when she includes like this version of the man, she's going to sway the crowd. They don't want that. They want Rhea to continue to be the top dog. But Becky can take that position from anybody just by her being her. I mean, that this is what she did. I just finished reading her book today. And she talks about it a lot. Every time she was down and out, it was us, the fans, chanting for her in the middle of Charlotte matches, in the middle of Sasha matches. Like, every time she thought, oh, I'm going to get fired, they don't want me around. You know, Mr. Imposter Syndrome, as she calls it. Like, I don't deserve this. The fans would rally behind her. So if she continues to do this with Rhea, I mean, fans they're going to be chanting for her. I'm going to be chanting for her this weekend.
I'm all for mommy supremacy, so I'm going for Rhea. We'll get to our predictions.
Just a spoiler alert, Macho. I was just like, remember how we talked a little bit about off camera about all of us perpetually being 15-year-old boys? Enough said.
I've always had a thing for my heads, though, so it's all good.
Stay tuned for the Patreon exclusive podcast.
Iconics After Dark.
Iconics After Dark. Coming to you very, very soon.
On all really want to get me going. Let's just throw Jessica Chastain up here somewhere.
Oh my goodness. So we cut from this recap into a quick backstage promo from Becky. She's like, I'm going to finish what I started last week. So if Rhea wants to come fight me, she can. And then she goes off and then we'll see Becky come out later in the show. I'm going to dive fully into what this is once we get our quick segment later in the show. From here, we get our first match of the evening. This is an 8-man tag team match, which sees the New Day and DIY taking on all four boys of the Judgment Day. this is where questions came up, because I felt that this match was meant to go maybe a couple minutes longer than it should have, but it ended up being a quick 7 to 8 minute bout. And I got worried when Johnny Gargano looked like he impaled his skull onto the announcer table when he dived through the ropes.
He so did like, go on oh, social Johnny media and tell hurt. Everybody he was fine. He said, thank you for the support, yeah. And I'm all good.
Okay, because that looked gnarly. I thought the match was fine. Again, I feel like maybe 2 or 3 extra minutes could have done it better. But it served its purpose. The Judgment Day went over. It made we got the Judgment Day boys to have a win. But there was just some parts of this match, for me personally, I feel like didn't connect. And I don't know if it was because of how short the match was, or maybe these teams haven't necessarily worked together all that much too often. I don't know. I didn't dislike the match, but I thought it could have been better in parts.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I agree. I think the match was just fine. There wasn't anything super special about it. The Johnny spot, I think, just overshadowed everything else, because I think everybody was holding their breath. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how I felt about it.
I think they just, you know, it probably is a match that should have been longer. They probably had it a little bit shorter. Just they probably don't want, because a lot of, you know, every single one of these dudes is in the big match at Mania that's going to probably want to split in the tag belt, so they don't want nobody really to get hurt, i.e. like Johnny Gargano, so they probably just like play it safe, keep it short, keep it quick, put on a quick entertaining show for all today.
Yeah,
because it would be a shame if one of those tag teams was not going to be out there. We just got to make it to Saturday, you guys, because that match is happening on Saturday. So the 6 tag teams involved in that match, please don't do anything reckless over the next couple of days, because I want all of you to be okay for that 6-pack ladder match, which I think is going to be fantastic. Backstage, we are with the Bloodline, where the most important thing to come out of this segment is that we find out that Roman Reigns is going to be inducting Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame on Friday.
Wow. Shocked.
Which is a big honor, honestly.
It is. I hope it'll be like an ECW guy.
Agreed. I'm sorry.
That's what I thought.
Like RVD.
Yeah.
I would have thought, you know, I would have thought like Tommy Dreamer, but that's probably not the best idea. Or like Bubba Ray or something like that.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if it was like a slew of Paul Heyman guys. Because sometimes they do like extra people. Like when Eddie was inducted, it was like 3 people. I think it would have been dope to have like a couple Paul Heyman guys.
Yeah,
and so nothing against Roman Reigns in this regards, but I feel that if you're going to be inducting Paul Heyman, I agree that having only a couple of Paul Heyman guys to kind of do the induction alongside Roman would be great. I still think it's fantastic that Paul Heyman is going into the Hall of Fame this year, because he has done a lot in his career
too, so he has to go in.
Oh, for sure.
You know, if recent controversies, but with people that WWE has access to, Roman, I think, still is the best choice, just due to the fact they want to keep one dude nameless for right now. Which does remind me, there was a SmackDown main event a long time ago during the 2000s that was main evented by only the Big Show. Much of you guys saw this, because 2 people were not allowed to name anymore, and the other one was John Cena, and you can't see him.
Yep.
So he may have invented a SmackDown by himself. So there you go. There's some Big Show trivia for you.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I love it so much. From this backstage segment with the Bloodline, we get into the cinematic masterpiece that is the training arc, as I dubbed it, between Sami Zayn and Chad Gable, where I was like, oh, we're so pulling Rocky into this. This is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole premise of this pre-taped segment / little short film is that Chad is trying to pull out the fire in Sammy because he's not giving it 100%, and something is holding Sammy back. Sammy admits that he's afraid and he doesn't want to disappoint himself, disappoint his wife, disappoint his son. And then Chad tells him that I understand more than anyone had that feels, but you need to do this. And then the second half of this promo is just Sami Zayn training up a storm, and you know, I think we're ready. Have I seen this type of promo before? Absolutely. Did it make me excited for the match we're getting on Saturday? Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
When we get to predictions later, this is the only match I am struggling to going back and forth with of who's going to walk out with that title.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little upset about what happens after the Bronson and Sammy match, but I thought this was brilliant. I really enjoyed this.
Well, we won't have to wait long to talk about that.
Right. I mean, it's, they're going to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is known for the biggest underdog story of all time with Rocky. I think they're trying to pull, definitely. They're trying to be like, hey guys, look, here's WWE's Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And Gunther is, instead of, he's the big Russian guy, but he's not Russian, but it's the big Russian guy. And they're trying to pull that vibe. So I you know, it makes sense. It's I like it because I love Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
So, but I also love watching Gunther just beat the living crap out of people.
Agreed. I like it because I just think that this is a really great way to keep Gunther like flawless at Mania. He's, so far his first couple of Manias, he's working stellar people. This is a great way for us not to have like him have that snooze, you know, that snoozer of a match. It's like, okay, let's keep this guy protected. Let's put him out there with a pros pro, a guy who's literally never had a bad WrestleMania match. And I think,
right,
I think
so even if Gunther does lose, the match is still like
a classic.
A fantastic. So Gunther still looks strong, mm-hmm, even after losing.
Yeah, yeah.
So before we get into that match with Sammy, because it happens right after this, quickly we head backstage, we see the Judgment Day, and Dominic Mysterio is kind of causing problems with no communication. Listen, all you folks out there, communication is key in any type of relationship, friend, romantic, whatever you want to do it. Because Dominic didn't mention to the rest of the Judgment Day that he invited Legato from SmackDown to come and hang out with them for Raw for some reason. And Rhea's not too keen and happy about it. She's like,
Man.
I was like, communication is key. Why are they here? Because I invited them. I don't know, Dominic. What are we doing, man? I think Dominic is getting too ahead of himself. He's trying to prove himself, and it's not been working.
Dom's messing up.
I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine. Rhea's not going anywhere. Her and Dom forever. That's just the way it's going to go. If anything, they'll probably kick out Damien. Yeah, so.
That's what I've been saying this whole entire time. And this will not be the last we see in Judgment Day backstage, because we also have another piece thrown into it, which sets something up for SmackDown, which hindsight doesn't really mean anything, but, you know, we'll talk about it when we get there. All right, so now let's talk about this match. This is a rematch, Sami Zayn versus Big Bronson Reed. There was no finish, because I was like, so who wins? Oh, okay, never mind.
Okay, this is the second match that had that.
See, okay. It made sense for the main event to not have a finish. Like, that makes sense, given the story that we're telling here. But with this one...
Okay, but I wanted Solo... Okay, the spoilers, but come on, man. At least get Solo the pin so he can have a victory.
That guy's...
we'll talk about it when we get there, but okay, so I don't mind that Gunther beats the bricks off of people. I would have preferred it had it been after the match, because we're getting to the end. Gunther comes out and throws Chad Gable onto the stage. Sami Zayn goes up to check on Chad. A fight breaks out. Gunther beats up Sammy. Sammy is given the underdog, I can still stand, you gotta fight me still. And then Gunther continues to beat him up until Sammy just can't get back up anymore. And then that's how we end this match. I was like, listen, I know Sammy is the underdog, but this did nothing for anybody.
This is weird, because they use the Rocky 3, right? Like, I'm afraid, right? the whole like when he's like, there is no tomorrow, right? Okay, well then treat Chad Gable like Mickey. Have him beat the shit out of like Chad Gable, and then Sammy wait till Sunday to get his hands on Gunther. Like, don't have them touch. What is the purpose of having them touch? All that told me is who's going to win the match. That's all that told me.
Yeah, I...
Yeah, they went back to the classic trope of whoever is on top from the Go-Hell Show is going to be on top, is losing at the PLE.
And Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Champion, again, last time he beat Daniel Bryan, motherfucker.
Macho's trying to purge that from his memory.
It's a great match. I just didn't expect the ending.
Yeah, that was...
that was the COVID mania.
Yeah, what a time. That was a time for sure.
That definitely was a time period.
Yeah.
So,
back when people thought Sasha was a good talker.
Check out our Dynamite review if you want to hear our full thoughts on those.
That's what we do here, people. We sit here and then we put over our other shows that you can go listen to.
I'm so happy you're here full time. It's fantastic. Backstage, we get Jey Uso and Lil Wayne for some reason and get confirmation that Lil Wayne's going to premiere new music at WrestleMania. Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Which, look, the legacy of Weezy is fantastic. I was just like, this was really weird, but it makes sense in my head why Jay's the one to kind of do this. But
I mean, they had a fucking, who was it? They came out with a monster at Mania.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, when you and that dork went.
And recreated the TikTok in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
I'm just looking forward to Kevin Owens power bombing Machine Gun Kelly at SummerSlam again.
That was fantastic.
That was dope. Yeah. That was so good.
He comes out with like a yellow, like, you know, yellow wig and shit. And just does it. He throws some spaghetti on him. Be like, yeah, that's what you get.
It's my mom's spaghetti.
So fantastic.
Yeah.
We got Lil Wayne and we got Meek Mill too, from what we've been teasing so far as well. So it should be interesting.
Mill. Philly is a big Meek Mill area.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So after this little backstage segment, we get into our, it's a quick match, but it does its thing. We have Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile taking on Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell.
All right. Did you guys notice what's happening here? Did you notice? As soon as I saw this match, I was like, oh, man, I feel so bad. I noticed it with this match and with the Ricochet match. They're not on Mania, but they got new nice gear for Mania.
So mad.
Like, Maxine Dupri's gear, I was like, that is brand new. Like, new. I was like, hold up. But I love this because I'm a big fan of Indy. I really enjoy Ivy. I think Ivy is special. I think she's a big player in the future. I love her style. And Maxine, she's just going to continue to get better. So I'm going to rock with her for a while. And Candice LeRae is the best of the four. So, I mean, this is a solid way to get these women over. Great job. Love the way that they presented the whole like Indy and Candice can't really figure out what's going on. Are they, do they agree? I think it ultimately sets up a big payday for when Indy just turns on somebody and just like becomes a giant and just starts like slamming people around the rings and stuff.
I want more for Indy. I'm hoping this leads to something because she went from, and me and, you know, Minnie, even though he's locked in the basement right now, me and Minnie can attest to this because we were not anticipating her winning at Stand and Deliver last year in that ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, she got injured after she had that title defense at Spring Break-In. And then she got called up to main roster while she was still champ too, which was a whole entire weird thing. So, but ever since then, Indy has been paired up back with Candice LeRae. So here's hoping that this is more for Indy, because I love Indy. I think she's great. Candice LeRae is fantastic. I'm a big fan of Ivy Nile. And I'm going to be, and like you said, Macho, I want to rock with Maxine, because I think the ceiling is so far for Maxine that she has so much potential in there. Mm-hmm. I can see it. Just with a little more training and a little more direction, she's hopefully will be a stable in the women's division for main roster.
I love that Trish made the comparison to herself. And she said she was essentially the same person. When she started, people thought she sucked. And that was true. When she was in TNA, when she was with Testin Albert, she was awful. She was really bad in the ring. And she slowly just kept getting better and better. So I love that, because Trish has turned out to be the Mount Rushmore for the women. So, I mean, if that works out for Maxine, if she's half the person Trish Stratus is, then we better watch out.
Oh, well, for sure. We've
seen that Maxine is athletic as hell. There's like just one or two small things missing. And then once those start clicking, she's going to be a force.
That was a nice drop kick too at the end. I was like, oh, was she got up there. Those cheerleading skills got up there. Let's go.
She's just missing those one or two things. Mm-hmm. Once she gets those one or two things in, locked in, she's going to be a phenomenal wrestler.
What is going on with the women now in WWE? They're all fucking tall. She's 5'10", Indy 6 foot. Rhea Ripley's 5'7", Nia Jax is 6 foot. What is going on? They're like giants over there now for the... That's awesome.
Was also, I mean, look at what is the... Katana Chance and those two?
Yeah.
Like, they're like barely taller than the middle rope.
I know.
But they're some of the most athletic wrestlers on the roster.
Yeah.
They're really one of the few real women's tag teams that we have on main roster too. So mm-hmm. they are so good. I think they're fantastic. But I thought this was a fun little match, which then rolls into a quick backstage thing with Seth and Jay. Jay saying, you know, I got your back. You know, come this Bloodline Rules match, which, spoiler alert, no, you ain't, Jay.
Jane just got bodied.
Yup.
I'm saving it because the majority of our discussion is going to be this main event, because it was wild. Mm-hmm. Which then we get into the best promo of the evening.
Yup.
With Drew McIntyre in this funeral home. Drew held nothing back.
What do you see? CM Punk has no match in Philly. Can't believe he said that shit. I was like, this guy is such a cornball. I love it.
Dude, Drew is, I love the character. He's like, you know what? Fuck all of you. I'm going to be a dick and I don't give a shit what
he's
you say.
So, what is it with these European wrestlers just being exceptional on the internet? Like, they are on another level, right? It's so crazy.
I feel that Drew has just been told, hey, I feel like this has been Drew the whole entire time. Yes. And then they just decided, hey, you know what, Drew, just be yourself and say, now, obviously, keep it within the lines of certain things, but just go off on the internet. Like, say stuff on Twitter that's going to make people mad, or just be hilarious with the meme.
Yo, he said, I got my own emoji for WrestleMania. Look at Punk's. And then he put the poop emoji. Yo.
I think Paul Levesque has always known that this way, and finally was like, you just be yourself. You don't have to worry about he who shall not be named stopping your character now.
That's right. I'm the chosen one. Who chose you? Who chose you?
Say their name.
Yeah, that was so good.
That was wild last week. That was wild.
Oh, man.
These last 2 weeks on Raw have been like the Wild West. It was fantastic.
Yep.
And, you know, even though we're focusing on Monday Night Raw, see what happens when you let wrestlers just be their authentic selves, because it is some of the best stuff.
That's what changed the game in the 90s.
Exactly. I always bring this up because she is one of my favorites, too. Now that they let Nyla Rose just go off the handle on her social media game is probably some of the funniest stuff on the planet. I think it's fantastic. And that's why we at Ring of Honor love her so much, because now they just let her go off the cuff. It's like, just say and do random things. And Nyla Rose has become one of my favorite things.
This reminds me, you said the Wild West has made me think about this. I'm going back to the Rock promo. you know, the one time The Rock started cussing during his promos when he told all the kids to pay attention?
Yeah.
I noticed that when he goes, sit your kids in front of the TV and let me, Uncle Rock drop some gospel on you. I'm going to kick his ass. I was like, oh, now he starts cussing when the kids are paying attention.
I love it.
He did that on purpose.
He's so good.
Drew's on a whole nother level right now. He's literally, his character right now, he's just an internet troll, and I love it.
Yeah, he is spectacular. He's really good.
He's an internet troll, but I am not annoyed by his behavior because it is still done in a very fun way. And look, he wasn't physically on the show in terms of like in the arena coming face to face because Seth was busy in Bloodline land. But I am super excited for Drew to take that title. Spoiler alert, but you know.
Oh man, I'm so excited. You have no idea.
We are going to get all that during our predictions video. Yeah. Stay tuned for that. That's going up later. Anyways. So then we get into probably my favorite match of the evening just because it's Ricochet, a.k.a. Prince Puma, a.k.a.
I don't,
Ivar also, too. I got to give credit. Ivar, Ricochet versus Ivar, man. I'm just like.
How can you watch this match and remember anything but the fallaway slam?
Ooh!
Yo, I was like, no way. No way. He caught him and carried him. I was like, Ricochet, like Prince Puma. Some Puma came out there. As someone said, the Puma came out there.
It did.
As the kids say, he was standing on business.
Yo, he was. Did you see Samantha Irvin's face? There's got to be something there. They got to do some kind of storyline with the two of them, like Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth or something, because they are just, I love watching them together. I just love it.
Samantha Irvin's reactions to any match is always fantastic. Yes. When they catch her and put it on the social media, I was just like, I feel like that would be me. If I was a ring announcer, I'm also a fan watching the product in front of me.
So I have a bold statement to make about Samantha Irvin. I would legitimately, or Triple H, I would put her on the private jet. I would tell her, I'm sorry, you're working Raw and SmackDown. Oh, you're worried about transportation? Don't worry about it. You come on the jet with me and Stephanie. Because she's that good at her job. I don't know who that other schmo is that be doing the announcements, but it's got to just be her. She better announce every winner at WrestleMania.
I hope so, too. Samantha is fantastic. I love her so much. She's but
very good.
This match, and you know, we've seen various iterations of Ivar and Ricochet be in different matches over the last 2 months or so on SmackDown. And to me, I'm just like, it's a darn shame that neither one of these gentlemen are going to WrestleMania, especially Ricochet. Absolutely. But what I'm hoping to see is because of the work that Ricochet has been putting in pretty much all of 2024 so far, I hope we start to push him up the card a little bit because what I'm like that fallaway slam. I'm like, what?
That was so cool.
It was ridiculous.
And then he brought back the 630 too.
Oh, dude. I was like, goodness. Ricochet picks up the victory here. And he's waiting for the Judgment Day boys to come on out and like fight him, which then fades back into where Damian tells Dom, hey, you need to take care of this Ricochet problem because I'm tired of him making us look like a clown. Which then Dominic says, you know what? JD is in the Battle Royale. JD says that he's going to take care of them. Dom says that JD should. But just in case JD fails, and JD kind of took it personal a little bit after that little statement, Dominic says that he has an insurance policy in the form of Andrade, who comes in. Andrade and Damian talk a little bit in Spanish, which was fantastic to see. I'm like, look at all this melanin in the room.
Yeah, man. I love it. I think something's happening here. There's definitely a shift. There's a shift happening.
You know, say what you will about Mr. Charlotte Flair, Andre, like, but I'm excited to have him back in WWE, and I'm thinking some things are going to be happening post-Mania that involve him and Damian Priest, which has me super excited, because I think those matches have the potential to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So we cut to commercial. We come back. Becky Lynch comes into the ring. She says the quick thing where she's like, you know, we're not going to talk. Rhea Ripley, get your butt out here. We about to fight. Adam Pearce tries to do his job saying we're not about to fight. Rhea Ripley is having none of it.
Man.
Comes out anyways. She gets stopped. She's like, all right, fine. We won't fight. Throws the title at Adam Pearce and begins taking out security one by one. And we just see the shot of Becky and Rhea making their way to security until they start brawling. And then security is trying to pull them apart, which leads into, once they get pulled backstage, they're still fighting each other and having to be sent in opposite corners of the arena.
It took Dom to calm down Rhea, and Adam Pearce, she's screaming at the top of his lungs, control your mommy.
Listen, let's give some respect to Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce, because listen, he to just have a title thrown at him, that man is a phenomenal worker. It's just like, I feel like he's so underutilized. I don't know if he's got the Corey Graves issue, why he can't work, but that dude was such a great NWA champion. And to watch him in this role, and I felt like whenever he does these things, like control your mommy or, you know, calling Ronda Rousey the B word, whenever he gets to just be himself, he's just spectacular.
That clip that's making around the internet when you cut the promo against Ronda is just like,
oh, people are just bitter that she spoke the truth. Wah.
But I love me a good fight, a brawl before WrestleMania. I was like, oh, they're going to kill each other at Mania. I'm kind of here. I'm so excited for them to try to murder each other at Mania. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
So from this pull apart brawl, we get a quick Dakota Kai promo with Damage Control. Can I just say, I might be in the minority here, but I'm so happy that Dakota Kai is now cleared to be in the ring again, because I feel that between her and her team kick partner, Tegan Nox, they have been plagued with the injury bug for so long that it's nice to finally see Dakota Kai. And I like that she is being given the heel role in this, because when she was a heel in NXT, when her and Raquel were feuding, I thought it was fantastic. But she cuts this promo on behalf of Damage Control, talking about how she and the rest of the Damage Control girls are going to go out there tonight. They're going to rip apart Zoe, Shayna, and Tegan. And then Io is going to be taking care of Bayley at Mania. And then Damage Control is going to be taking care of Jade, Bianca, and Naomi. I have unofficially named them Black Girl Magic because it is fantastic. Because,
ooh, I like.
Again, all that melanin on that WrestleMania card is fantastic.
I would love to be in that Oreo. That, just saying. But like, that,
so talented, I love so it. Beautiful. I'm just love like, Senior Luchador, stay in kayfabe, stay in the character.
That is
more details in the predictions video.
Can we talk about our girl Tegan, that she got to be on TV before WrestleMania? That's like, that is just awesome. Good for her. I mean, she takes the job here, but she's so spectacular, and I like her with, like, if they make like a three-person group with Shayna, Zoe, and Tegan, I think that could be beneficial.
I'm here for
all three of them. Like, what's that dude's name, Stone from NXT?
Oh, Robert Stone.
Yeah, like, make him their manager. I think it works, because Shayna has some comedy. Like, Shayna's really funny.
Her TikToks are hilarious.
The disrespect on Shayna Baszler has been so, like, I don't even know where it comes from. It's like people think she's not a good wrestler or whatever. I was so sad reading in Becky's book that she was pushing for her to beat her at Mania. She wanted Shayna to win. And Vince was like,
we all wanted Shayna to win. We all wanted Shayna to win.
We don't mention that name around here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's fucking right. Weirdo.
That's right.
So weird.
That's some good shit.
And to kind of piggyback after what you said, Macho, if anyone needs a good reminder of how good Shayna Baszler can be, even though it is not WWE related, if you have a chance to go watch her match at Bloodsport, like, child, when I tell you she beat the bricks off her opponent, if we continue to let Shayna Baszler do these kinds of things in the future, I'm hoping for an ultimate match between her and Masha Slamovich. That is what I want to see big time happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's a real badass. She beat Cyborg. Like, she beat, she is a real badass. Like, yeah, she's awesome. She's good.
My favorite part of this whole six-woman tag was the triple German suplex from Tegan, Shayna, and Zoe did on Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota. Like, I thought it was fantastic. Of course, Tegan does take the pin here, but this was a fun six-woman tag. We got to Shayna, Tegan, and Zoe on television because they're not going to be at Mania. But it also gives Damage Control a win because they're about to be beat by the most dominant force in WWE currently.
What does that mean Asuka's WrestleMania record?
See, now you reminded me and now I'm sad again. We're gonna talk about how sad I am in the predictions video because, yeah. So we get our bumpers for WrestleMania. So social media already released it, but we get Michael Cole and Pat McAfee running down the schedule of everything, which is chaotic AF when I looked at that graphic.
Can I talk about the fact that I like how Pat McAfee is supposed to be the heel commentator, but he's just too damn funny and there's really no true heel commentator on the team?
Yeah, he's
the entire time he kills me because he was like just like cracking jokes in the middle of entrances and stuff like that. It was great.
Yeah,
it's really hard because Pat McAfee is a fan of, you know, what he's watching in front of him. So it's really hard to get him to be a heel and be a fan at the same time. But again, I agree with you, Lucha Dog. He's just cracking jokes and just dancing.
The best bits is when he does Jay's entrance when he's on the table and he's doing the bounce.
He's just doing the motion.
The best is when he was doing it and Gunther stopped and looked at him and he like stopped.
And then he did it again.
Oh my God.
It is ridiculous, but we get our matches for WrestleMania 40. So 7 on Saturday, 6 on Sunday.
Perfect.
Which then leads into a quick backstage interview with Seth. And then he has a run-in with Drew. And I've said this on previous reviews, but I love the continuous shots. But Drew killed me in this one.
Oh, my God. There's always a plan B. That's dumb. If you letter your plans, you can only have 26 of them. What's so stupid?
Drew is like
stupid.
Oh, absolutely. But did my dumb brain enjoy it? Hell yeah, I did.
Listen, I loved how this set the internet ablaze. Oh, he's definitely betraying Cody, the whole plan B thing. No, Cody was his plan B. What the what's wrong with people?
Everybody wants. So, like, the big thing I'm seeing everywhere is Seth is going to betray Cody and John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin are going to get involved somehow.
Why?
Like, I don't even. Because of what happened last Monday.
Came up with this theory because Austin and Cena were on the truck behind, you know, the beatdown of the century that we had happen last week. I'm like, you guys, Stone Cold has said that the WrestleMania match he had with Kevin Owens, that is the last we were going to see of him in the ring. And, you know, Cena is kind of weird to call into the situation because it makes no damn sense.
John Cena just called Roman Reigns the GOAT.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah.
He did. I watched that whole special.
The internet is such a weird place for sure. But again, Drew killed me in this one and he's yelling at Seth. And I've said this before. I love that we're taking risks now because I love these continuous shots that we're getting of just going from backstage to the entrance ramp for the entrances.
Dude, the camera work once his name's been retired has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually focus on what I'm watching. My eyes don't hurt after watching 50 million jump cuts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, who hired the freshman videographer, you know, class out of the local art college? Like, what is happening?
His name was Kevin Dunn. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
because every time they do something leading from Gorilla to like the live audience, they're like, Kevin Dunn he would never do this. Like, that's how the internet reacts.
Well, they see any shot that's more than 30 seconds of continuing without a jump cut, they're like, Kevin Dunn will never.
Yeah.
This is a television show. This is not social media. You can, this is not a YouTube video. You can't be cutting every 5 seconds.
Yep.
And you know, as someone who edits these videos now, I understand the joke and it hurts, but I'm laughing as so hard as well. So, okay, we've been hinting at this. We've been cracking jokes about it. But now let's get into the main event of this evening. Seth Rollins versus Solo Sikoa in a Bloodline rules match. Obviously, there was no finish because of the shenanigans.
It was really fast.
It really was. So, okay, I have a bone to pick with the audience. Look, I am a person who has a propensity for violence. I love me some good old tables and some other weaponry.
Best match ever. There was two tables.
Best match ever. Two tables got broken. Fantastic. Shout out to our friend Uriel, who is, you know, the origin of that joke. Hmm. But I need the crowd to calm down because, like, it was only like, what, 30 seconds into the match and everyone's like, we want tables. I was like,
y'all. Seth did the dive. And as soon as he picked Solo up, they were chanting tables.
I was like, you guys, I need y'all to calm down. These are supposed to be reserved as like quick time event cutscenes. Like, you cannot just like 30 seconds into the match and then pull out a table and then throw someone in it. I was like, you got to build.
Why not?
You have to be patient.
Well, but, we like our tables.
I was happy when The Rock came out. I was
so
just,
okay.
Yeah. This is a lot.
The match itself was whatever.
It was hilarious. Jimmy came in, did his thing. Jay came out, did his thing, came over to the ring. Jay goes behind the curtain, and then, like, not even 3 seconds later, Jay goes flying back out.
Didn't it remind you of the Spirit Squad when Shawn Michaels made his return? That shit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought the same thing.
I was like, oh my God.
He just gets launched out, and here comes Final Boss Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Loved it.
Who just, like, took Jay and made him look like a little kid.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I love how he, like, beats him down the whole way to the ring. He goes in there, lets Seth know, like, you're about to get your ass beat, boy, only to have Seth smile at him. And, you know.
Adrenaline in my soul. Oh, my boy Cody is about to get these hands for show. Like,
whoa! Here comes Cody Rhodes.
He runs so weird, man. He runs like Phoebe on Friends. It's so weird. Like,
that's. But in case y'all forget, The Rock could sell because he was selling the fall of those punches.
Yo, he made Cody look like every punch mattered. He took a back bump. Then he, like, Cody put him on a, like, on the announce desk. I was like, hold up. The Rock is ready for, he's ready for Saturday. He's ready to start bumping around. He probably did that bump right there just to make sure he could do it. Because I was like, yes, Rocky, let's go. He's a super sold move. I want to see him oversell the curb stomp just to see how he dumps. Like, it's going to be so great.
He's gonna.
I'm not, super excited.
I think he's gonna oversell the bionic elbows. Cody's gonna.
Oh my God! Yes, give me that. Give me that. Like when he did it to Avalanche, and then he does it twice, and then when he does it the third time, Avalanche just falls.
Well, so they're like Avalanche, like turned and was like dancing.
Yes, I loved it.
I just saw that clip the other day.
So good. Oh man.
Oh my goodness. So Cody's out there. He tries to get Rock through the table. Doesn't happen. Move.
He tried to hit the rock bottom on him. Fucking jerk.
I'm like, Cody, you know that's not going to work here at Raw. And I don't think it's going to work at WrestleMania either. But you know what? Tried. Mm. Even though you failed at it. Which then prompts, you know, the Tribal Chief to be coming out. And then just chaos breaks loose. Seth and Cody get the brakes beat off of them. The belt comes off. And they start whipping Cody, and I love the meme that happened later. It's like, Cody is kind of used to this at this point, and it shows him in AEW, him right here getting whipped. Him and Seth Rollins just get destroyed.
This is nothing compared to what Wardlow did to him. Nothing. This is like, these are easy. The Rock is hitting the ground when he's hitting him. You could tell he's not fully, but when Wardlow and MJF hit him with that belt, they were whipping him like my abuela used to whip me. That was rough, you know. But yeah, I loved it. I loved the whole, like, just whipping them. And then, like, I don't know if you guys saw the clip after The Rock even whipped the ref. It's just so good.
Oh man, it's just I love watching like Roman out there. This told me everything I needed to know. As soon as I saw this, I was like, Cody just got his ass beat back to back Raws. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of tells me what's happening Sunday.
I hope so. He's gonna get beat again.
I mean, I hope you're right, but I don't think that's right. I think they're at the well, we'll talk about it soon.
We're going to talk about it in a separate predictions video that we're going to be doing. But the final image that we get as Raw goes off the air on TV or whatever platform you're watching this on is Cody and Seth are a mess on the floor. They've been beaten. They are just... Cody got beat. Again, you mentioned it. Cody got beat up 2 weeks in a row.
He deserved it.
Like, he got his lunch money taken away from him twice. And Rock and Roman are standing victoriously as Raw goes off the air. Gentlemen, that is our whole entire go home show for Monday Night Raw. So let's do our final rating. So the go home show for Monday Night Raw that took place Monday, April 1st, 2024. You know, I don't even know where to begin because this show had a lot of good things and it had some questionable things.
So what is it rated out of 10 or out of 5?
We're going to do out of 10, and we are still using the empanada scale. So.
But mira, the way I see it, I'll go. I'm going to say I'm going to give it an 8 empanadas. This was 2 empanadas short of a great Monday Night Raw because, yeah, I think my only complaint is that Cody wasn't hit like 5 more times with the belt. That's my only complaint because he deserves it. Because he's been the most boring part of this whole set. Like, those promos he's been cutting, I'm like, that's not Cody. That's not the Cody I felt. That's not the Cody that I bought your t-shirts, man. I don't know who this is. This is like a shell of himself. It's like bizarre.
This is Senator Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, this is weird. This is weird. Like, all this money I spent on you, bro. Bought my son your fucking stuffed dog and everything. And this is what you give me? This is what you return to me? Pendejo.
Well, damn! Sorry. It's just so nice to hear outside of me and Adolfo just Spanish being spoken. It's fantastic, but 8 out of 10. Señor Luchadont, how do you rate this Monday Night Raw?
I agree. 8. It was an 8. I wish the women got a little bit more time for the matches they did have. But other than that, there was not a lot to actually complain about this Raw. So it was set everything up perfectly for what they needed to do it for Saturday, Sunday.
Really good goal.
I am going to be in unison. I also give this an 8 out of 10. And honestly, and I could say this because we were at WrestleMania Live last year. I think this is probably my favorite go home for Monday Night Raw for a WrestleMania in the last maybe 3 or 4 years of this company. I think this is probably one of my more favorite ones. Hopefully, and this is predicting, because we will not be doing the Raw after Mania, given the fact that we'll be doing other, you know, pay-per-view. We're doing the pay-per-view reviews for night 1 and night 2 next week, but I'm pretty sure that I'm hoping that we don't waste our time like we did last year, because I will never get my time back. Me and Minnie, who's locked in the basement right now, will never get our 3 hours back that we decided to watch the Monday Night After Raw together live on my television when he was down here. But
that was a bad WrestleMania.
Oh my gosh. I tried to purge it from my memory. And Macho, you didn't even know us at that time, but like, if you knew us at that time, I was pissed. I was like, the only good thing was the pizza we ordered.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But this Raw has me super excited for WrestleMania. I am stoked. I can't wait to do this. And the three of us are going to get out of here for Monday Night Raw, but don't go nowhere because later in the week, you will see a certain WrestleMania predictions video coming up shortly before. Trust me, the gauntlet has just begun, and the BC WrestlePod boys are here to cover all the WrestleMania goodness from WWE to the other promotions that are doing stuff as well. So this is going to be fantastic. But from myself, Macho, and Señor Lucha Don't, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic, but more importantly, more than anything, you deserve to finish your story. I just had to throw it in there. We will see you for the live coverages of WrestleMania. But until then, take care.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.